Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. This is Bishop Horace C. Michael, pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church, and I want to welcome you on this blessed day, Tuesday, July 6th in the year 2021. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I tell you, I'm not sure what's going on. But the enemy is absolutely trying to fight this lesson today in our prayer. All day long, I was working at home using my computer to get my work done. And as it got to around the 6 o'clock hour, I started experiencing some difficulties, shut down all my applications and rebooted the computer. And then my internet connection began to fail. And immediately I realized that I needed to come up with a plan B. It's good to have a plan B in your life. Not that you ever expect you might need it, but the inevitable issue is that sometimes things fail. They don't go the way you planned. And so a wise person that is planning will always have a backup somewhere, somehow. The backup plan is necessary. I'm dropping that nugget on somebody that's listening to this recording tonight, because I had immediately went to my backup plan, and it wasn't intentional. I didn't necessarily say, let me have a backup plan, but I had something that I could fall back on. I feel the Holy Ghost right there. And you've got to make sure that whatever you fall back on is able to hold you up. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost already. You got to have a backup, but you got to make sure that whatever you are using as your backup can hold you up, can support you. And so I want to use this as a bit of an introduction, segue into tonight's lesson, building, building, building. Again, tonight's lesson, building, building, building. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we honor you. We thank you. We bless your name, because even now, even before we get into this deep, we feel your anointing right now. We feel your presence on this line. And somebody tonight is waiting to hear this from you, because they're about to do something and they want to get it right. Hallelujah. Somebody on this line is listening. They're about to make a move, but they want to make it right. They want to get it right. Oh, God, tonight we bless you, because you're the God that guides us, Lord. You lead us and guide us into all truth so that we can get it right. And tonight, Lord God, oh my Savior, I bless your name and I thank you for the word that's about to come out, for the anointing that's about to manifest, for the revelation that's about to be shared. We are excited and delighted to be in your presence, where there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Oh God, life is in this. Life is in your presence. You will show us the path of life. And so tonight our souls are on fire. We are excited about being with you and ask that you would anoint every word that gets spoken tonight and the prayers that get prayed, even beyond this one, Lord, that you would meet us in the prayer by your power and your anointing. As we commit all things into your hands, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, so tonight I'm going to need a little help, because I am somewhat at a disadvantage, because I don't have my computer and everything in front of me the way I normally would. So I want to, I'm going to ask Brother Paul, J.D. Austin, Junior Deacon Austin, to help me out tonight and put the following scriptures in the chat. And so we're going to go forward with this. Psalms 1. Verse 1 through 3. That's Psalms 1, verse 1 through 3. The second, Lord have mercy. What's going on? I hope I'm not messing things up. Okay, Brother J.D. Austin, can you get that in the chat? I just want to make sure that we got this going on. Bless the name of God. Let me make J.D. Austin, the host. Here we go. I'm telling you, I'm using my iPad tonight, and I don't normally use it, so you all forgive me. Okay, there we go. That's the first verse. Next verse, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. The next verse is Luke chapter 6, verse 47 through 49. Luke chapter 6, verse 47 through 49. I don't see the Matthew one in there. J.D. Austin, let me know if you're hearing me.
Please repeat the Matthew one, please.
Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. I think we're good. Luke chapter 6, verse 47 through 49. Luke chapter 6. That's Luke 6, 47 through 49. Luke 6. Verse 47 through 49. Okay, great. The next is Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 18. Again, great. It's in the chat. J.D. Austin is putting it up in there. And James chapter 2, verse 17 through 20. James chapter 2, verse 17 through 20. Okay, excellent. Thank you so much, J.D. Austin. So we're going to need some readers here. And I think that there's one more verse that I want to ask you to get in there, and that's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There's something I want to talk to you all tonight about with regards to building, and it's so important because it's not only what we build here, but what we build that's going to be evaluated by the Lord. Yes, but let's go with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 15. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 15. So that's going to be the last verse tonight. Now, I'm going to share with you all, and some of these verses we're going to read through, but some of them we may not get to read, but I want to make sure you got all the verses, because this is going to be important. You're going to need this lesson for what's going to happen with the rest part, the next part of this year. And the reason why I'm saying that is because what I want to talk about tonight is what I'm seeing the hand of God do. And I think that as the congregation, you all need to understand exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing, because the Holy Spirit is absolutely up to something. Now, I know that I'm going to be talking, and maybe what Brother J.D. Austin can do or Sister Hobby can do is to put a slide together and switch it out with this plug into the power of prayer. Switch this out with the slide that's got all the scriptures listed, so that if people start commenting in the chat, that the slide will have the verses in front of it. So you all put that together while I'm talking right now. And so I want you to begin to see something here that the Lord has started to show me. This year, the Church of Our Lord Jesus Christ, our organization, headed by Apostle Dr. James I. Clark Jr., has a theme, and the theme is discipleship. Last year's theme, and this will begin this month as we proceed to our holy convocation at the latter part of the month. And I pray that you all will commit yourself to being able to support it. If I'm not mistaken, the dates are the 22nd through the 24th of July. That's the 22nd through the 24th. You can go to CoolJC, that's CoolJC.org to get the details, or check it out on Facebook. The theme for this new church year, beginning in this month, is discipleship. Last year's theme was evangelism, 911. And as we began this year, and this is where the connection is going to be made, and perhaps you saw the connection, and maybe so you're a step ahead of me with this, but I saw, as I begin to reflect on this year and what God has been dealing with me, and then what God has been dealing with the organization and our presider, I saw a direct connection and correlation. We started this year out with the theme and the focus, it shall be done in 21. And we began by discussing with you an elaboration of the theme based upon the scriptures that the Lord gave us. And we shared with you those thematic scriptures. So Matthew chapter 21, verse 20 and 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. And when the Lord directed me to these verses, he showed me an incredible synergy that all of these verses had to do with getting things done. The Matthew text, Matthew 21, verse 20 through 21, spoke about how the disciples marveled at what Jesus did when he spoke his word, and how the Lord Jesus told them, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which was done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. The disciples were challenged by faith to get things done, specifically in the context of speaking. In the Ephesians text, it speaks to us concerning the power to get things done. That's just me clapping. I'm getting a little excited. The power to get things done lies within the Holy Spirit, the power that worketh in us. And the thing about this text that's so powerful is that this power works. It works. And I need somebody to write that in your notes. It works. The Holy Ghost works. It works. In other words, not only is it efficacious, in terms of being able to get the thing done, having the ability to accomplish, but it works. In other words, it's not stagnant. The Holy Spirit is not stagnant. The Holy Spirit is fluid. It's fluid. It moves. And wherever the Holy Spirit is, it affects us and it causes us to move. So that if the Holy Spirit is not stagnant, neither are we. Glory to God. I need somebody on this line. The Holy Ghost is talking to me, if not talking to you. But the Holy Spirit is saying that the power of God in us is not stagnant. It helps us to be stable, but not stagnant. Lord have mercy. Can I say that one more time? This is why people need the Holy Spirit. It's not enough for you to have a conversion experience. That's great, but it's not enough. It's not enough for you to come to a place of a mental ascent where you agree with the word without change. Agreeing with the word is good, but you've got to allow this word to take root in you, to affect you, to bring change to you. And that's the power that works in us, the power of the Holy Spirit to bring us in line with the purposes and the plans and the will of God. And Paul gets so excited that he begins to exclaim on this point, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's the Ephesians text. And then the Romans chapter 4, verse 20, 21. Again, Romans 4, 20 to 21. This is an example text of what will happen when you apply this to your life. Abraham, it says he staggered not at the promise of God. So we got two things here. We've got Abraham's stability and the stability of God's promise. Both of these things, stability is key with. Both of them require stability. The word of God, of course, because if his word is not, God's word is not stable, then it can't make you it. It cannot make you stable. The word cannot make you what it's not. But the word can make you everything it is. God have mercy. Somebody, this is why you need to read the word. This is why you need to have a daily diet of scripture. You need to get the word in your spirit. There's no shortcut here, because when you get the word inside of you, the word will make you what it is. Woo! Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word of God is life-giving. His word is spirit and it's truth. His word is a direction. It's a compass. It's a guide. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God, the word of God, the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. It's life. It's power. It's healing. It's cutting. It's sowing. It separates the thing that you don't need. It cuts away the dross. The word of God does this. And Abraham had to hold on to this word and stagger not. And so what the scriptures, what God's word was, Abraham became. What God's word was, Abraham became. Abraham became stable. As a matter of fact, he became so stable that the Bible says he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. The stability of God's word had an effect on Abraham. And whatever the word is, it will make you. The stability of the word is going to bring stability in your life. And the more word you have in you, the more stable your life will be. God have mercy. And so this was the foundation for the year for us. This was the foundation for the year. And so we dealt with confession and conviction. We dealt with how to deal with blockers to progress. We dealt with understanding this as a year of purpose, power, prayer, and praise. We understood and I shared with you in detail about speaking it out of your mouth and beginning to establish goals, because you shall have whatsoever you say, but it's not enough just to say it, which is what we're going to get to tonight in terms of the specifics of a lesson tonight. But I want you to understand everything that has been shared with you thus far has essentially been the quality content for teaching discipleship. Discipleship. I shared with you about understanding the doctrines of Christ as it was shared by Christ and subsequently became the doctrine of the apostles. I shared with you how that is so important that you understand that the doctrines of Christ deal with what we must believe, the seven doctrines of Christ. And then we talked about the seven essentials of holy living, which is a direct correlation to the teachings of Christ. So the doctrines of Christ spoke to what we must believe. And the essentials of holy living spoke to what we must do. Because whatever you got to understand, when your belief affects your behavior, that's when change comes. When your belief affects your behavior, that's when change and transformation comes. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get to this a little later in the lesson, because you got to understand process. Because some people don't understand process, but there's a direct connection between what you believe and what you do. And when you put the word in your spirit, the teachings of Jesus Christ, and you understand how they are correlated to holy living, this is going to be life-changing. And this is discipleship. We talked about what the word of God has to say concerning a foundation out of 2 John verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Again, this is out of 2 John 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. In other words, you cannot talk about a relationship with God if you are not abiding in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Some people will say, you know, I've learned how to manage my relationship with God in this pandemic. I haven't been able to go to church, and I've been reading my Bible. I've been praying, et cetera, et cetera. And that's all well and good. But the 2 John 9 says you got to do more than read to really be a disciple. As a matter of fact, Jesus told the disciples while he was on earth, if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me daily. This discipleship experience is a transforming. It's sanctification at work. This process of strengthening me in faith, making me consistent in my life, allowing me not just to talk about various things in scripture, but to actually live those things, to bring substance to concept. My God, the Holy Ghost in us brings substance to the concepts that are shared in God's word. You can read the word all you want, but without the Holy Ghost, you're not going to get it. As a matter of fact, not only are you not going to get it from an understanding point of view, but you will not get it in terms of achieving what the word said you can, because the scripture says, without me, you can do nothing. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And so this foundation that we shared with you took us to a place where we started talking about goals, goal setting, SMART goals, as a matter of fact. And we spent some time explaining what it means to have a SMART goal: specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-based. And then what we did was we went forth to set goals. The Lord had me give you instruction for each one of you to identify three goals that you would accomplish between the beginning of the year and May 31st. And so we had these goals that were in front of us. And this was in the beginning of February, I believe, probably the end of January. We shared it. And then in February, we started getting people responding back concerning their goals. We've got 24 goals of 24 individuals that have responded with their goals. And I want to thank those that have, because I asked you to do it. Some did not, but I want to encourage you this time around to get the job done, because discipleship is about building. It's about building our relationship with God. It's about building our confidence in God. It's about building our hopes and understanding how a transformed life looks. Yes, we have to learn how to progress through the pain. And I taught you about that. But I want you to understand that progress is not an option for us. Progress is not an option. The last thing that I taught you all a few weeks ago had to do with seven steps to answered prayer. And all of this is connected to discipleship, because prayer is an integral part of our relationship. Seven things that we talked to you about. Now, I know that I don't believe in these 1-2-3-step kind of concepts, but I do believe that the Bible gives us a blueprint. It gives us a formula of sorts. And so the idea of these seven steps, make this then, it's like a magic wand or a rabbit's foot. No, this is designed to instill the word in your spirit so that your actions line up with scripture. It's not about a lucky charm. It's not about a magic rabbit's foot. It's not about any kind of, oh, you say this, you say five hallelujahs and jump up and down and call Jesus three times, it's going to happen. No, it's not about that. That's not the idea here with this construct. But this is a foundation for you to understand how to make scripture relevant in your life. Many times people ask the question, how does this work? How do I make the scripture work for me? And so this is the idea behind the seven steps to answered prayer. And so I want you to understand tonight, we've had three goals. Everybody was asked to share some goals. And the scriptures that we're going to read tonight, I got to get these scriptures in the atmosphere. And so it looks like we got a reader for Psalms, the Psalms passage, the Matthew passage. Thank you very much. This is perfect. This is exactly what we need to see. Psalms, Matthew, I don't have anybody yet for Luke. I need a volunteer for Luke. We got a volunteer for Romans. I need somebody for James. And we've got certainly for 1 Corinthians. We're going to go with Psalms 1, verse 1 through 3. And then we're going to pause. We're going to go to Matthew 7. And hopefully by that time I get a volunteer. Hopefully we got enough people on the line to fill in the gaps. We got over 20 people on the line so far. So I need some volunteers on Luke and James. Okay, we got somebody coming in with James. Wonderful. And I've got a volunteer for Luke. Perfect. Okay, let's go to Dr. Marbury. Okay, so tonight's theme is building, building, building. We got to get to building here. And this is what the Lord put in my spirit for tonight about building. All right, let's go to the word. Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3.
Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law do he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Thank you very much, Dr. Marbury. What we have to understand, you know, a lot of us get excited about hearing a word. We'll go to church and say, oh, I've come to hear a word. The preacher will be introduced or the speaker will be introduced and people will get excited. So we're going to hear a word today. Dr. So-and-so is going to speak. Bishop so-and-so is going to speak. District elder so-and-so, missionary so-and-so. Oh, we're going to get a word. We're going to get a word. And so one of the things that begins to come to mind as a pastor, as an overseer of souls, and even a pastor of pastors, is that we have a culture that loves to hear the word. My concern is that we do more than hear the word, that we do the word. And so there is building, building, building. There's something we got to do with this word. And I agree. You want to hear a good word. And we know that, you know, hearing is good because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But what good is faith if you're not doing something? What good is all that word in your head if you're not doing anything with it in your life? And so Psalms 1 speaks to us of the profile of a blessed person. Now, I know it says man, but that's a generic man. It's mankind. Blessed is the person that walks not under the counsel or the advice of the ungodly. And so you got to be careful because everybody that's talking to you don't have the Holy Ghost. And even everybody that has the Holy Spirit that's talking to you, they're not operating by the Holy Spirit. Every word is not a word from the Lord. This is why you need to have the word in your spirit so that you can know the difference. The ungodly standeth in the way of the sinners. Or in other words, talking about the disposition or the attitude. Stand, you know, so somebody takes a stand or they stand a certain way, their posture. And so it says that the person that's blessed, their posture is not sinful posture. They don't operate the way sinners operate. Neither do they sit in the seat of the scornful, those that look down judgmentally and are critical. They always have criticisms, but they have no fruit. They can tell you what you're not doing, but they ain't doing nothing themselves. And so that profile out of verse 1, then verse 2, so it goes from what he's not doing to what he does. And I think that this is very powerful because, again, verse 1 says, this is the thing that the blessed person does not do, but now let's get to what he does. He delights in the law of the Lord. He meditates on the law of the Lord. So it's on his mind. And anything that's on a person's mind is taking precedence in their lives. Whatever you're thinking about is taking a priority. It's got your attention. And I love it that verse 2 basically says that the word of the Lord has the blessed person's attention. They're attentive to the word. And this is directly according to the promise that God made out of Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, when he said, you know, if my people that are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will I forgive their sin, then will I heal their land. You know, in verse 15, he says, you know, my ears shall be a tent. In other words, alert to the prayer that's made in this place. And so the person in Psalms 1, verse 2, his delight is in the law. He is attentive to the word of God. And number three, it says he's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So number one, he's going to be planted. Number two, he's going to be by a source of life. And number three, he's bringing forth fruit. And not only is there going to be fruit, but it says his leaf shall not wither. And we know that the leaf was the sign for Jesus in the text from early on, that was a deception, as it were, to what was really happening with that fruit, with that tree. It in Matthew chapter 21, verse 20 and 21, we should realize that the tree was cursed because it had a leaf, it had leaves, but no fruit. But here, the blessed person is going to have fruit and leaves, is going to have everything connected with life, and whatsoever they do will prosper. Hearing is good, but you've got to do. And what I love about it, if we look at verse 2 and 3, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. So, yep, he's hearing the word, but he's doing. So in other words, when you hear, it's one thing to hear healing. It's another thing to lay hands on the sick and they recover, or for you to receive your healing. You hear victory. Ah, God. Oh, God. It's another thing for you to walk in victory. You hear about loving your neighbor as yourself, but are you doing that? Are you really doing the loving your neighbor, even the neighbor that gets on your last nerve? You hear about the Bible saying, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have debts against us. So forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Well, we hear the scriptures talking about forgiveness. We talked about that quite a bit, even in applying the doctrines of Christ. But are you actually doing the forgiving? I'm not talking about condition. If they do this and that, the other, then you forgive them. Of course, people have an obligation to demonstrate the sincerity of their repentance or the sincerity of their apology, but that's on them. It's on you is forgiveness. On them is evidence. But when we talk about hearing the word, the thing that's critical is doing the word. And like I said before, when your belief affects your behavior, this is where you're going to get a foundation. Because see, people want to grow, but they don't want to build. They want stuff, but they don't want to build. They want to get to a certain place, but they don't want to pay the price to get there. But your foundation is crucial. The struggle is a part of the foundation. Your wrestling is a part of the foundation. Temptations that you endure is a part of the foundation. The trials that you face, even failure, this is a part of the foundation. This is a part of the process. And it doesn't only make things come to pass. It brings out the God seed in you, the seed of the word that's been planted in your heart, what God has placed in you. It will bring it to pass. His word will conform. It will transform you. It will make you. But you have got to go through the process. And so when we talk about the next verse, when we get to the next verse, we're going to be talking about something that's crucial. And so let's just get right to it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. That's Sister McCollum.
Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Both, thank you so much, Sister McCollum. Both of these examples identify building a house. Both of them point out the fact that there was some building that took place, some work, some effort. The problem came when the challenge came to the thing being built. In one case, it couldn't stand the test. It couldn't stand the pressure. It couldn't stand up under the weight of what came to try it. It was built, it was completed, but it couldn't stand the test. It couldn't take the stuff that was inevitable that was going to come. And this other profile, the first one, it was able to withstand. It was able to deal with the things that were expected, unexpected. It was able to deal with life. Because when the scriptures talk about rain descending, floods coming, winds blowing, and then beating upon the house, both houses had similar experiences. Both of them were exposed to the circumstances of life. In this particular text, the circumstances are meteorological. It's weather circumstances. But we know that even in metaphoric terms, when somebody uses the phrase fair weather friends, is talking about people that stick around with you only when things are looking good, things are going well, fair weather. Well, weather is not always fair. And you've got to learn how to stand up when the weather is not fair. But it's so much more than learning in this text, because it's talking about the foundation, the foundation. And this again points back to discipleship. If you're going to be a Christian that's going to matter, you got to have a firm foundation. And I mean this in terms of mattering in terms of your life and mattering in terms of your witness, because we don't live in a vacuum. What we do affects others. What we do affects our family. What we do affects our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates, our schoolmates, the people that are around us. Whatever you are affects somebody else. God have whatever you are affects somebody else. And so Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, and I gotta jump to Luke, because Luke is a companion to this. And so let's go to Luke, because we can't talk about one without the other. Luke chapter 6, verse 47 through 49. Sister Claudia, please. I'm not sure if she's unmuted. Can our technicians help her out?
I'm off now. Yes, you can hear me.
Okay, all right, 40, I hear you.
6:47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man who built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that built a house without foundation upon the earth, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. That ended the 49th.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Claudia. These two, Matthew 7, verse 27 through 24 through 27, again, Matthew 7, 24 through 27, and Luke chapter 6, verse 47 through 49 are a powerful, powerful statement about what we as disciples must do. Whosoever cometh to me, heareth my sayings, and doeth them. I'm going to show you who that person is like. They are like someone who built a house and dig deep. This is a part of this lesson that's just getting me so excited, because when we talk about this building, this text speaks about what has to happen. It's not just about digging, but digging until you hit rock. Digging until you hit rock and lay the foundation. Digging will cause loose stuff to fall away. And it's not the devil, it's the shovel. Sometimes people think that the stuff that's falling away, oh my God, this one is going, oh my God, this is happening, oh my God, I missed this opportunity, or this didn't happen the way I expected it. No, there's some things that happen when you dig. There's some things that happen as you dig. I remember vividly as a scout going out into the woods, needing to dig a hole for this purpose or for that purpose, and using a shovel, and you had to step on that shovel and you had to start a process. And the process was not going to start until you did something about it. You weren't going to get to what you needed to get to in terms of digging down until you started with that shovel. And that shovel, you had to step on it, push it down into the dirt, step, pull it out, pull the dirt out, toss the dirt to the side, do that process again, do that process again. And sometimes it took a while to make that hole the way you needed it to be. Sometimes it takes a long time. It takes effort to dig and to begin to do the work to lay the foundation. But I got news for you. Sometimes when you're digging, like I said, the loose stuff is going to fall off until you hit rock. And when you hit rock, that's when your foundation is going to be strong, because you hit rock. Glory to God. And sometimes you got to be careful, because there's some things that God is trying to get loose from you and you're trying to hold on to them, but you got to dig. You got to dig until you dig out fear. You got to dig until you dig out unbelief. You've got to dig until you dig out insecurity. You've got to dig, Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. You've got to dig no matter what until you hit rock. And when you hit rock, now you're somewhere. But you've got to, there's some things that's got to be dug out, beloved. Oh, God. Oh, God. You got to dig out that give up spirit. You got to dig out that spirit that makes excuses, that blames other people for what you could have done. You got to dig it out now. And I don't know about you, but there's some things that's got to be dug out. And there are some things you know that's got to be dug out. And I'm going to ask you to make a note for yourself in terms of what needs to be dug out. Because there's a digging that's taking place even now. Because God is trying to get you to the place where the foundation begins to be established, and that rock is Jesus. Jesus is the rock. And until everything is dug out that's in between you and Jesus, you're not going to be able to stand. But I promise you, and I believe I've got some witnesses on the line, when you dig out the stuff that's between you and the rock, then you're going to be able to stand no matter how vehement those streams are, no matter how vehement those waves are, no matter how fierce the storm is, glory to God, it will beat upon what you've built and it's going to stand. We're living in what I love in verse 48. It says, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Whatever is built on the foundation of Jesus is going to stand the test of time. Beloved, everybody on this line, this is why the Holy Spirit is dealing with me so strongly about the foundation of the doctrine and the teachings of Jesus Christ, the teaching of the apostles, and even you applying this word to deal with those goals. What is important is that you understand that God wants to move you from fluff. Oh, God. He wants to move you from the fluff to the right stuff. not to this cotton candy, emotionally bound, oversensitive, church hurt mentality where everybody is against me and people don't like me and people are hating me. Who cares what people think? Who cares if somebody's hating on you? They crucified Jesus. And if you're going to be like Jesus, guess what? Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ liveth on the inside of me. There is going to be effort. There's going to be pain, because anytime you start digging, there are things that people would rather leave undug. They'd rather leave it there, because when you start digging, you unearth some stuff that has been undercover, and the Holy Spirit is not exposing. See, this is where some people get it twisted. The Holy this is not expose teaching. And don't get me wrong, the Holy Ghost can expose mess, but this is not about exposing mess. This is about helping you to get to the layer of the substrata that you can build something on. Because when we put these goals together, these goals are designed to take you somewhere. Some people have had goals about reading the Word of God, paying off credit cards, designing garments, and completing the reading of books, completing various things, saving up a certain amount of money, publishing books. The list goes on and on, and losing weight. Oh, praise the name of God. And again, the list goes on, walking more regularly. And I'm telling you, what's so important is that we take this list and don't lose it. I don't want you to lose this. Some people have even talked about increasing their credit score, building their credit score. Everyone signing up for school and moving forward in their lives through education. Every one of these goals is digging to the foundation. Going to bed at a certain time so that you can start the day properly. Oh, God. Bringing organization into one's life so that they're able to have more peace. Come on here, somebody. This is not just about speaking in tongues, dancing and shouting. As a matter of fact, the Lord has been dealing with me. Lord, don't teach me how to shout. Teach me how to stand. I want to stand. I want to be able to go through the vehement stream beating and learn how to stand. But I can't do that unless I got a foundation. I've got to have a foundation. And this foundation is Jesus. And so, Lord, whatever needs to be dug out, Lord, I'm willing to dig it out. And see, sometimes we put it on the Lord to do the digging. Oh, God. But this is not only God doing. This is what you have to do. You've got to operate in the love of God. Understand the love of God so that you can know that perfect love casts out all fear. It's like understanding that the thing that's intimidating you is intimidated by the God in you. And see, the devil doesn't want you to know that, but I'm going to say that one again. I remember that. The thing that's intimidating you is intimidated by the God in you. And I want you to see that. I want you to see that. Dig it out, Lord. Dig it out. I'm digging out all this fear. I'm digging out all these things. And I want you to make a list of things that need to be dug out, whether it's insecurity, you know, what to do when people talk about you, being sensitive about that. Look, dig it out. Dig it out. Dig it out. I don't want any excuse to get in the way of my God-ordained and God-anointed progress. You are God-ordained and God-anointed. I wish I could. My God, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but the Holy Ghost is talking to somebody on this line. God ordained and God anointed. I want you to, now I know I wanted to go through the details of what people have shared in that list. But what I need you to do even more so, everybody has their list. Everybody that shared their list, they have their list. And now I'm going to ask you to make this commitment. I'm going to ask you to take a moment and go through your three items. And I'm going to ask you to reply back to me in an email. What percentage have you got done? If you got it done 100%, if you got it done 50%, and keep in mind, because these are SMART goals and they were crafted using the SMART model, you will be able to quantify or to be able to identify what percentage of the goal you have accomplished. So everybody listening to me now, everybody that's on the line right now, I want you to send me an email. I'm going to ask our technicians if you would put my email address in the chat, please. And that's BeulahTabRocks@AOL.com. That's Beulah, B-E-U-L-A-H, T-A-B for tabernacle, rocks, R-O-C-K-S, at AOL.com. BeulahTabRocks. I want you to respond to me by email with each of your goals. And let me know what percentage have you completed? Because between now and the end of November, if you haven't completed these goals, I want you to get it done. I want you to get it done. And again, I want you to send this update in an email to me because I want you to get it done. The theme that the Lord gave me for us, and that includes everybody listening to me right now, it shall be done in 21. Whatever it's going to take for you to get it done, because truly, you have been anointed to get it done. There's no faith, without works. There is no fast track to excellence. Anything that's going to stand the test of time has to be built right. None of this microwave, instant access, fast food, ATM mentality and spirit, Jiffy cornbread, attitude and age. Some people don't even know what food tastes like that takes time to cook. Because we've got so much processed food and so much of this quick stuff that some people don't even have a clue as to what food tastes like that takes time to cook. Sometimes we even go to a restaurant and we get impatient with the speed or the slowness that the food comes out. And when you go to a good restaurant, the food may take a little while because it's actually being made to order. And what God has for us is a made to order life. It ain't on the rack. Your breakthrough is not on a rack. Your breakthrough is made to order. Your next step moving forward in God is not off the rack. Lord, have mercy. It's made to order. A custom-made suit, a custom-made garment. It takes all of the critical points of who you are as measurements to design the ideal garment to fit you like it was made for you. And what God has for you, oh God, it's not just for you. It's made for you. It's made for you. And yes, there's going to be some setbacks. Yes, there's going to be some disappointments. Yes, but I've got news for you. Your ability to endure, your ability increases with every stall, with every disappointment, with every challenge, with every contest, with every obstacle. Your ability to endure increases with the things that come against you. Your ability to endure increases with everything that comes against you. Your ability to endure increases with everything that comes against you, because no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. It's going to, and the reason is because you're the one that's going to prosper from it. You're the one that's going to, oh God, I've got to get through. As a matter of fact, I can't get through. I've got to stop here because time is running out. We're going to start at Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 18. When we come back together, I've got to break because I've got to hear the prayer that's about to come out. I know that there was not only a word that God had in my spirit to share with you, but there's a prayer that's about to hit the airwaves, that's going to bless somebody's life. It's going to bring change in their life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm so excited. I am going to decrease and let the prayer leaders increase. The prayer leader representative for the men to be followed immediately by the prayer representative for the women to be immediately followed by the prayer representative for the young people. Let's go to God in prayer.
Father, we thank you tonight. We praise you and we glorify you, Lord God, for your rich mercy, for your glorious mercy, Lord. We lift up your name on high, Lord God. The name of Jesus, hallelujah, is worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun, the going down of the same. Jesus' name is exalted throughout the earth. We just say thank you, Lord God, for another day. We say thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity to come into your presence. We say thank you for another day to glorify your name. We say thank you for another day to give your name praise. We say thank you for another day to lift up your holy name. We say thank you for another day to get it right, Lord. We ask you to forgive us of anything said, done, or thought, Lord, that didn't glorify you. Forgive us, Lord, for those things that we've done with our bodies that didn't glorify you, those thoughts that came into our heads that we've entertained, those words that came out of our mouth that might have hurt somebody, that might have hurt ourselves. We ask you, Lord, right now, Lord Jesus, to wash us with your precious blood that you shed upon Calvary, that even though, Lord God, our sins may be as scarlet, even though our sins are dirty and filthy and smelly and disgusting, because of your blood, Lord God, they'll be as white as snow, to be put in a sea of forgetfulness, to be remembered no more, Lord God. We thank you tonight for our lesson, Lord. I'm building, building, building. We say thank you, Lord God, that your word is a strong foundation, not like the things of the world, not like the motivational so-called preachers and all that, Lord, but your word stands strong through the test of time. Your word stands strong throughout all the ages. Your word will never die. Your word will never cease to get. It's your word, Lord God, that gives us strength. It's your word, Lord God, that changes our lives. It's your word, Lord God, that brings healing. It's your word, Lord God, hallelujah, that brings deliverance. Your word, Lord God, that draws us closer to you. It's your word, Lord God, that gives us life. And because of it, we can have life more abundantly through your word. Lord, continue to keep us, Lord. Continue to bless us, Lord. Continue to strengthen us, Lord. Lord, we cry out to you right now, Lord. We need you more and more every day. We're in the end times. We're in the last days. And we need you more than ever, Lord God. Continue to look upon us, Lord God. Continue to draw us closer to you, Lord God. Whatever's in us, purge it out, Lord. Whatever's not like you, Lord God, purge it out, Lord God. Because we need you so badly, Lord God. In these last days, Lord Jesus, we just say thank you, Lord God, hallelujah. We say thank you, Lord God, hallelujah. And just take this time right now just to say thank you, Lord. 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 We could have been in hell right now. We could have been lost forever. Not seeing you at all, facing your wrath for all eternity. But your word, Lord God, Jesus Christ, your word, if we abide in you, Lord God, you'll abide in us, Lord God. If we stand strong in you, Lord God, you'll stand strong in us, Lord God. Lord, dig out whatever is not right. Any unbelief, any insecurity, any fear, any doubt. You have not given us a spirit of fear, Lord God, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Lord, continue to keep our minds and our hearts focused on you, Lord God. You are our rock. You are our source. You are our strength, Lord God. Lord Jesus, there is none, like the song says, there is none like you. And we just say thank you tonight for loving us so. Continue to look upon our pastor, Lord God. Continue to strengthen him, Lord God. Continue to keep him, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for what you give him, Lord God, to feed to your people, Lord God. We ask you to continue to bless him and his family, Lord God. Continue to touch him in his body even right now, Lord God. Touch him in his mind, Lord God, even right now. Touch him in his heart, Lord God, even right now, Lord God. We say thank you tonight, Lord God, for your goodness and your mercy in our lives. And we won't forget to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Hallelujah. Because it all belongs to you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We just praise you. Hallelujah. We just glorify you. Hallelujah. We just lift up your name on high, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done, for all that you're doing, and all that you plan to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we come to you asking you to forgive us, Lord, for things that we may have thought or said, Lord. We ask you right now to just forgive us, Lord, for not coming to you sooner, Lord. Lord, we ask you right now to just continue to bless us as we continue to grow in you. Lord, we thank you for the word that went forth today, building, building, building. Lord, we want to build our lives on a firm foundation, not on sand, not on rocks, Lord, but on your foundation, Lord. Lord, we want to dig until we hit rock, Lord. We want to hit firm foundation. We want to dig until it's no more us but you, Lord. Dig until fear is not there and unforgiveness and lying and stealing. Lord, things that are not like you, the things that are unpleasing to you, Lord. We want to dig until we are pure before you, God. We ask you right now to give us the strength to read your word daily, Lord. Let that be our goal, not just for the smart goals, but let that be the thing that we stand on every day, Lord. Help us to understand that we need your word to walk through this life, to keep us focused on what you have for us, Lord. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy, but you said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And Lord, the only way that we're going to know that is through your word. Your word is a firm foundation, Lord. Lord, it keeps us, Lord. It's our path, Lord. It's a light that shows us where we need to go, Lord. And we ask you right now to just give us the strength to make it a soul that we would look at your word and we would read your word, that we will understand that we can't not make it without your word, Lord. Help us to hear your voice through your word. Help us to understand that we have to live by your word, Lord. Help us to be more like Psalms 1. Psalms 1, man, Lord. We ask you to help us to be stand strong. Be a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, Lord, that our leaves are not withering, Lord, that we're not listening to uncounseled, ungodly counsel, Lord. Help us to not have tickling ears, Lord. Help us to understand that the enemy wants to destroy us, but that you want us to have life, Lord. And we ask you right now to help us to be more attentive to our brothers and sisters, Lord. Help us to be loving and kind, Lord. Help us to reach out when they are in need, Lord. Help us to be what we need to be for each other, Lord. We ask you right now to just bless our pastor as he continues to give us your word, Lord. Help him to be the man that you have called him to be, Lord. Strengthen him. Keep his heart, Lord. Keep his mind, Lord. Keep his feet, Lord. We ask you right now, because the enemy wants to destroy him. He wants to destroy him through his family, through whatever that may bring him to a place that may have him stumble. But Lord, we ask you right now to keep him firm, Lord. Help us to keep his hands up, Lord. Help us to be the errands and earth that he needs, Lord. He needs us, Lord. We are not just to be talking, but we need to be doing, Lord. We ask you right now, help us to be the Beulah Tabernacle firm foundation to our pastor, Lord. We ask you right now to bless the Beulah Tabernacle family. Bless Lady Michael, bless Zoe, bless Horace, bless Sandra, the grandchildren. Lord, we ask you right now to just keep them, Lord. Lord, we ask you to surround him with your love, Lord. Surround Pastor with your love, Lord. Let him know that he is not alone, Lord. Let him know that we got him, Lord. That we're right behind him. We're right beside him. We're surrounding him with prayers and love. And we just want him to know that we want the best for him. We appreciate all that he is doing. And we thank God that he is listening to you, Lord, that he to give us what we need to move forward in this life, Lord. We don't want to be stagnant, Lord. We want to be powerful, Lord. We want to get things done. We want to be like Nehemiah. He had a mind to work. He had a mind to build, Lord. He had a mind to build back up what was torn down, Lord. Some of us are torn down in our spirits, Lord, and we ask you right now to help us, God, to get back to where we need to be, Lord. We are not broken permanently, Lord, but we want to build us back up so that we will be firm and we'll be strong in you, Lord. We ask you right now to just keep us as we continue to move forward. Ask you right now to bless all of the families that are here represented, Lord. Those who are in need of healing, Lord. We ask you right now to heal their minds and their hearts, Lord. Heal their finances, Lord. Lord God, we ask you right now to help them to understand that they are not alone, Lord. We ask you to just help everyone on this call to understand that we are our brothers and our sisters' keeper, Lord, that we are not alone, that we stand firm with each other, Lord. We ask you right now to bless the entire body of Christ, Lord. Help them to understand that we are getting ready to move forward and to get the kingdom of the people ready for the kingdom of God, Lord. We ask you right now to help the body of Christ to be on one accord. We ask you right now to help us to stay firm in your word, Lord. Help us not to go wavering, Lord. Help us to stay focused on what you have for us, Lord. There are so many people out here that are talking different things, Lord. But we ask you right now to help us to stay firm on your word, Lord. No matter what that person says or that other person may say, Lord, we ask you right now, let us stay focused on what you have said, Lord. That if there's a contrary in that word, then it's not from you, God. We ask you right now to help us to be able to decipher between what is right and what is wrong, Lord. We ask you right now to help us to be able to live. We want to live and not die. We want to be able to declare your word, Lord. We want to stand firm on you, Lord. We ask you right now to just keep us as we continue to move forward. Thank you for the word that went forth building. We want to build our lives. We want to be more like you. And as Pastor has said, in order to be more like you, we have to suffer in order to reign with you. We have to deny ourselves. We have to be willing to deny ourselves, Lord. We ask you right now to help us to understand that this walk is not an easy walk, but it's a worthy walk, Lord. And we ask you right now to keep us as we continue to stay focused, keep our hearts focused and aligned with you, keep our minds and our hearts, keep our words pure before you, Lord. We ask you right now to keep us as we continue to move forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, we thank you for this time that we can come together in your presence, oh God, to hear what thus saith the Lord. Lord, I thank you that Bishop was used as a servant, oh God, as an instrument for your words to flow through him to our ears, to give us this direction, oh God, to give us these words and this understanding of what you want us to do. Father God, the title of this lesson was building, that we need to build our lives on you totally and completely, oh God, that we don't need to just listen to the things that are being said, but we need to take action. Just like Nehemiah took action, oh God, every builder took action and built that wall together. They did it as a unit, oh God. Just like the word says that we have to build on something stable, oh God. We want to build our lives on you. We heard the passage tell us that if it's not built on the rock, it does not stand. We do not want to build on something that will fall. We do not want to build on something that is weak. But Father God, teach us how to build ourselves upon you, how to build ourselves upon your word, how to build our trust in you, oh God, to place things into your hands, that we don't have to carry the burdens and the heaviness of life, but we can give it to you. We have these scriptures to live by. We have the army of, Jesus, help me. We have the sword of the spirit and the shield of faith, oh God, and the pieces of the armor to defend ourselves, Lord. You have given us these tools, and it is time for us to get to work. I thank you for this right now, oh Lord. I thank you for this word that we can even dig in our own selves, not just the pieces of our life, oh Lord, but inside of our hearts and our souls, that there are things within us that need to be taken out. So have your way in us, oh God, that we can dig up these things and be honest with ourselves, be honest with your spirit and say, Lord, such and this is hindering me, whether if it's lying, if it's unforgiveness, oh God, whatever sin it is that is hindering us from you, we want to dig it out, oh Lord, hallelujah, because we want our foundation to be fully on you, nothing in the way of you, oh God, nothing in the way of our Savior, nothing in the way of you, Lord Jesus. The song says, for your glory, we would do anything, oh God, even in this moment, in this prayer right now, Lord. We want to be with you. That is it, oh Father. Hallelujah. So whatever we have to turn away from, whatever we have to get out of doing, oh God, we lay it before you, oh God. We lay at the altar and ask that your fire consumes us. Consume us with your fire, Lord Jesus, because we want to be filled of your spirit. We want to be filled of holiness, oh God. We want to go out and do what you have called us to do. It is time out for us to sit down and to continue to speak on things. We need to go out and do your work, oh God. So have your way in our feet, Lord, that we might walk in the path that you have in front of us. Have your way with our hands, oh God, that we will create things and not tear things down. That we will have your way, that you will have your way in us, oh God. That we will build the portions of your kingdom that you have assigned us to build. Open our ears that we may hear your word and hear clearly what we are destined to do, oh God. The purpose that is attached to each and every one of our lives. We are your vessels, oh God. Hallelujah. So have your way in us, Lord Jesus. We are the tools, oh Lord, and you can work us and use us how you see fit. Lord, we give ourselves to you this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, tonight we rejoice in your presence. Tonight we rejoice in your word. Tonight we rejoice and declare, Lord God, that holiness is what we long for. Tonight we rejoice and we declare that faithfulness is what we need. Tonight we rejoice and we declare that righteousness is even what you want from us. You want holiness, you want faithfulness, you want righteousness. And tonight, Lord God, as we offer up this prayer even beyond these words, Lord God, from the depths of our soul, we declare, take our heart, Lord God, and form it. Take our minds, oh God, and transform it. Take our wills, oh God, and conform it to yours, Lord, to your will, to your way, to your desires for us. Lord God, we bless your name tonight, and we accept the call to build. We push past the excuses by the power of the Holy Spirit. We push past the obstacles by the power of him that's at work in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so we push. We push past the flesh, Lord, tonight. Oh, God, by your Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to us as we walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, let every step turn into revelation. Woo, hallelujah. Lord God, and as we walk by faith and you give us revelation, Lord God, we expose every lie and every deception. We identify the areas of temptation. We speak against the areas where we have fallen, and we declare a new plan, a plan to push, a plan to build, hiding your word in our hearts. Oh God, yes, committing it to memory. Lord God, we bind the spirit of laziness. We will not be lazy, saints. Oh God, some of us, we got to put the word in our mind. We got to meditate on it. We got to memorize it. Lord God, give us the ingenuity and the ways of doing it, Lord. Everybody will memorize things in a different way, but help us, Lord God, to creatively find ways to memorize the word. Lord God, trusting you when we cannot see you, but putting your word in our hearts so that when we can't see you. We know him whom we believe in, and we are persuaded that you're able to do what you commit unto us. You're able to do what your word says do. You're able to do what no other power but the Holy Ghost power can get it done. You're able to accomplish that and to complete that which you've started. Oh God, help us, Lord, to be faithful in reading the word of God. We know we got to open the book. Hallelujah. It's not going to be because we pray. It's not going to be because the book opens up magically before us or the app opens up magically before us. It ain't no magic in it, Lord. And we acknowledge it. We need to read your word. And so, Lord God, help us to be faithful to it. Oh God, to start it and to do it, because we know that becoming saturated by your word is going to affect us in our spirit. Becoming saturated by your word is going to affect our outlook. The more we know, the more we grow. And so, Lord God, we want to know more of you through your word. Oh, yes, to be washed and cleansed by the word of God. Hallelujah. It's your ways, Lord God. We want to know your ways. We want to know more about our benefits. We want to know more about your will. And we know, Lord God, that that knowledge is contained in your word. And so, Lord God, by grace and love, we accept the spiritual accountability that this lesson tonight imposes upon us. Lord God, by grace and by love, we accept, Lord God, that you are calling us to something greater than ourselves. Oh God, by grace and by love, we even pray tonight one for another. Lord God, as we encourage one another in the spirit of love and unity, we know that we need one another. And so tonight, Lord God, we touch and agree for the lifting of burdens right now. Oh God, we touch and agree that in the midst of it, Lord God, you show us yourself even more. We touch and agree, Lord God, for every person that's going through something right now, that that experience will draw them closer to you. We touch and agree right now, Lord God, for everyone that's facing a difficulty, that they will look beyond the difficulty to know that you're right there. Show yourself to them. Lord God, some need to be still and know that you are God. Some need to be moving and operating by faith and doing something. Oh God, and whatever that is, I pray, Lord God, for wisdom, for growth, for transformation through our personal discipleship. Oh God, that we do more than just sing and shout and dance and preach and teach and do those things, Lord God, that make us feel good. But we do those things, Lord God, that truly make us good in you by the power of your Holy Spirit. Transformation, Lord God, let this be a reality. Let it be more than what we teach and what we talk about, but let it be what we are about. We want to be about this on another level. We want to be about discipleship on another level. because as we become disciples, Lord God, indeed, then we can reach out to those that need you. We can reach out to those that need healing. We can reach out to those that need discipling themselves, to be disciples that make disciples. Oh God, that's what we need. Everybody on this line, oh Father, needs to be a disciple that makes a disciple. Oh God, I pray for everyone on this line that they be that disciple, disciples that partner in ministry and with the vision to make disciples. And so, Lord God, we speak this word over every person on this line that we will not be houses without foundations. We will not be those houses without foundation. That will not be us. We will not be houses without foundation. We will stand on your word. We will start with understanding and reading it. We'll start with applying it to our daily experiences. We'll start by seeking you more, Lord God, acknowledging you in all of our ways and looking for you to direct our path. I thank you, Lord, even for this night. And I believe, Lord God, that something great is about to happen. I believe right now that despite the things that try to get in the way of us teaching this lesson tonight, that there's going to be a tremendous breakthrough. I thank you right now that even though the streams will come, the waves will beat, the rain will descend, the winds will blow, that it will not shake us, Lord. I thank you for being unshakable. I know that there are things that's going to come that's going to cause us to take a step back and maybe have to take a step back to get our footing, because sometimes that's what happens. A person takes a step back just to get their footing, not because they're turning around, but just to get their footing, to square up their shoulders and to dig in a little deeper. And so, Lord God, tonight, I speak over everyone on this line that they dig a little deeper, that they get their footing sure, that they get in the position to move forward. And I thank you right now, for by the grace of our God, by your grace alone, we shall get it done. It shall be done in 21. And so now, Lord God, I commit these precious souls into your hands, thanking you for the trust that you have extended to us to shepherd and to lead. I pray your blessings upon every family represented, every person on this line. And now I speak this blessing upon them. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Please be reminded that I'm asking everybody on the line, everyone, to set three goals to be